Task 1. Limits of humor. You are going to listen to Ricky Gervais being interviewed by Sam Harris and explaining his point of view on the limits of humor. Listen to the podcast and fill in the blanks with the exact words that you hear. Blank zero has been filled as an example. You will hear the recording twice. You will have 45 seconds between the first and second listening and 60 seconds at the end. You now have 90 seconds to read the statement.
Well, my name comes up a lot on Twitter when there's ever a controversy, right? A politician says something and people defend and go, hold on, what Ricky Gervais says these things, which is right. But I want to go, well, hold on, let's look at it. There's lots of variables here. One, I'm good at it. I'm good at my job, right? I've thought about this joke. This isn't me going out and saying the wrong thing. Two, you could say, well, that's not a joke. I make jokes about those things, but that's not a joke about the thing. That's someone advocating the thing. And there's another big difference there. Is it a joke, first of all? Was it a bad joke? That's another thing. If you're dealing with really contentious, the more emotive and contentious the issue is, the funnier the joke's got to be.
Perfect, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you've got to go, people, oh, I get it. And I talk about this on Humanity, that people often get offended by, let's say, a joke. Let's talk about jokes, actual jokes. People saying things they don't really mean for a comic effect to elicit a laugh, right? People get offended when they mistake the subject of a joke with the actual target. So some people think that some things shouldn't be joked about, which is clearly not true. So, and they do that because they think, and there's lots of stages here, they think that, so if it's a bad thing, if it's a joke.
Auschwitz.
Yes. Exactly. What's the target of the joke? Is it people being killed, or is it about a stupid misunderstanding, or is the Nazi that there's lots of ways this can be okay. You can make jokes about race without being racist. We don't have to get to, you know, is it a racist joke or not? It can be just a joke about race, and everyone knows that you can make a joke about race without being racist.
It seems to me that there are comics though that have completely change their act in response to how thin-skinned everyone has become.
Again, you know, I sort of get it. You know, you have those thoughts. You go, oh, I'm dealing with irony, and I used to play the right-wing bigot, and everyone got it. But now, the right-wing bigots are in charge. So is it the right thing to do? So I have to find a way where I can still make these sort of jokes, and people get them. And, you know, so there's a, I do feel there's a responsibility to at least try
the frame
to get the right target and hope people get it. So I get that. And sometimes, and then I get why people go, oh, it's just not worth it. No one understands me. I'm getting shouted at and my friends don't get it either. And I want to be in this club. I get it. I don't want to give up. I want people to understand it. And I try. If anyone says, I'll explain the joke. I'm happy to explain the joke because I love the intellectual pursuit. I love to say to someone, no, no, I'll give you an example. So at the Golden Globes, And now that's the only chance I get to write one-liners, and they're for the event. They don't really go in my stand-up. I can't do anywhere else. They're about really famous people winning an award at a time.
That's a great example of you making people obviously uncomfortable without apology. I mean, one crucial variable there is that you're punching up to, or at least punching straight to people, you know, the most privileged, successful
people.
People
don't get
the
that. Yeah. They think, because I've got the microphone, I'm right, punching
right,
down.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Johnny Depp. Yeah.
Exactly. Or, yeah. The richest, most popular people in the world, NBC, I have a go at, and the Hollywood Foreign Press. It's their night. They're in charge. So those are the things. And again, people get, it muddies the water, right? What the target is, what punching up and down, who's in charge, what's privilege, what's, you know. So an example, there's loads of examples that are taken away. So I did a joke, I think the Golden Globe for special effects should go to the team that airbrushed the poster for Sex and the City 2.
Right. Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I said, we know how old you are, girls. I saw one of you in an episode of Bonanza. And so Kim Cattrall comes out and says, that is ageist. And I explain, no, it's the opposite. I'm saying, why are we pandering to Hollywood, making it palatable to see 50-year-old women? Yeah, what's up with being 50?
Yeah, the airbrushing was ageist. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, okay. Did some people laugh for the wrong reasons? Definitely. Definitely. Is that my problem? Not really.
Now, listen again.
Well, my name comes up a lot on Twitter when there's ever a controversy, right? Apologies is a summer, and people defend and go, hold on, what? Ricky Gervais says these things, which is right. But I want to go, well, hold on, let's look at it. There's lots of variables here. One, I'm good at it. I'm good at my job, right? I've thought about this joke. This isn't me going out and saying the wrong thing. Two, you could say, well, that's not a joke. I make jokes about those things, but that's not a joke about the thing. That's someone advocating the thing. And there's another big difference there. Is it a joke, first of all? Was it a bad joke? That's another thing. If you're dealing with really contentious, the more emotive and contentious the issue is, the funnier the joke's got to
be. Perfect, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, you've got to go, people, oh, I get it. And I talk about this on Humanity, that people often get offended by, let's say, a joke. Let's talk about jokes, actual jokes. People saying things they don't really mean for a comic effect to elicit a laugh, right? People get offended when they mistake the subject of a joke with the actual target. So some people think that something shouldn't be joked about, which is clearly not true. So, and they do that because they think, and there's lots of stages here, they think that, so if it's a bad thing, if it's a joke.
Auschwitz.
Exactly. What's the target of the joke? Is it people being killed, or is it about a stupid misunderstanding, or is the Nazi that there's lots of ways this can be okay. You can make jokes about race without being racist. We don't have to get to, you know, is it a racist joke or not? It can be just a joke about race, and everyone knows that you can make a joke about race without being racist.
It seems to me that there are comics though that have completely changed their act in response to how thin-skinned everyone has become.
Again, you know, I sort of get it. You know, you have those thoughts. You go, oh, I'm dealing with irony, and I used to play the right-wing bigot, and everyone got it. But now,
the
right-wing bigots are in charge. So is it the right thing to do? So I have to find a way where I can still make these sort of jokes, and people get them. And, you know, so there's a... I do feel there's a responsibility to at least try
the frame
to get the right target and hope people get it. So I get that. And sometimes And then I get why people go, oh, it's just not worth it. No one understands me. I'm getting shouted at and my friends don't get it either. And I want to be in this club. I get it. I don't want to give up. I don't want to give up. I want people to understand it. And I try. If anyone says, I'll explain the joke. I'm happy to explain the joke because I love the intellectual pursuit. I love to say to someone, no. I'll give you an example. So at the Golden Globes, and now that's the only chance I get to write one-liners, and they're for the event. They don't really go in my stand-up. I can't do it anywhere else. They're about really famous people winning an award at a time.
That's a great example of you making people obviously uncomfortable without apology. I mean, one crucial variable there is that you're punching up to, or at least punching straight to people, you know, the most privileged, successful people.
And people don't get that. Yeah. They think, because I've got the microphone, I'm punching down.
Right. Yeah. Right? Johnny Depp. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. The richest, most popular people in the world, NBC, I have a go at, and the Hollywood Foreign Press. It's their night. They're in charge. So that's those are the things. And again, people get, it muddies the water, right? What the target is, what punching up and down, who's in charge, what's privileged, what's, you know. So an example, there's loads of examples that are taken away. So I did a joke, I think the Golden Globe for special effects should go to the team that airbrushed the poster for Sex and the City 2.
Right.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I said, we know how old you are, girls. I saw one of you in an episode of Bonanza. And so Kim Cattrall comes out and says, that is ageist. And I explain, no, it's the opposite. I'm saying, why are we pandering to Hollywood, making it palatable to see 50-year-old women? What's up with being 50?
Yeah, the airbrushing was ageist. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, okay. Did some people laugh for the wrong reasons? Definitely. Is that my problem? Not really.